I really don't know who else I'd rather be spending our 60th episode with, Captain Ryan Warhola, and I'm glad that you're here.
Absolutely. Number 60, huh?
Number 60.
Come a long ways.
We have come a long ways, man. We had a little hiatus, and we were getting a lot of, not hate, but a lot of people that were like, man, y'all need to bring it back. We're just, you know, got busy, and that's kind of what we talked about the last episode, was just kind of catching up with everybody. But me and you have had a lot of stuff in the works lately and talking about, so we figured we might as well, you know, do a full podcast on everything that we want to do.
Had a lot of stuff in the works, done a lot of fishing since February.
Done a lot of fishing. I figure that's what we'll get into. Me and you, shit, we fished how many tournaments in the last?
God. I think I've won. I think this next one will be number 14, I think, this year.
Number 14 for the year. Like, yeah. I think the last one I was like at number 10, but you fished those ones with your son.
Yeah, I fished a lot of stuff with Brooks, and then I fished a couple by myself, so.
Yeah, we
a couple one-offers and stuff, so.
Yeah, but I mean, me and you just alone, we fished seven this year together. One of these we're going to win.
Yeah, one day.
one day. Hopefully this year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I always seem to catch the big one in practice, or I always seem to catch them, you know, the day after. It's never during tournament day, but one day it'll happen. The stars will align.
And it's like you were telling Ranch, you're like, I can't ever catch the bigger fish whenever we're fishing together. But then, like,
yeah.
So, in reference to the people, the one of the little team series we fished, the Lone Star Bass Club out of Southeast Texas, you fish it, they made it for shift workers, so you can fish either Wednesday or Saturday, and it's for anyone that works like DuPont or four on four off. You can fish the tournament no matter what every month. Well, a few of them have landed where me and Ryan can't fish together on that weekend, so I'd fish the Wednesday, and that's when I do the best.
Yeah,
I'm over here catching any way in your best three. So I think the two that I haven't fished with you, I've had 8-something and 7 something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course, you know, then I fish with you and I'm 5 pounds, 6 pounds, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the same for me. Well, I had the really good first one in February. I think I had eight pounds, and we're talking about three fish for our points. So it's a 5-fish team, but individual points for angler year, it's only 3 fish per person, and it's separate from the team. And I think I had 8-something the first one in February. Had a really good day.
That was when I had my bad day.
Yeah.
I had the 2 fish.
You caught a pile of fish. Did you have like 18 before you caught a keeper?
I had 18 fish before I caught a keeper.
Yeah.
One of those days.
Yeah.
One of those days. And then the last term I fished, I had like, no shit, 12 before I had a throwback. So you have those days, but I mean, all those tournaments have been pretty good to me where I've caught a lot of fish. I still haven't stuck a good one yet.
Yeah. I think my best one so far this year was when Brooks and I fished. So you can have somebody else fish with you. So I let my 6-year-old fish me one of the Saturdays that Porter couldn't be there. And that was the day I just randomly picked a spot and threw a top water and had my 3 good ones in the boat and like 6 casts. Kind of worked out good there. But
yeah, me and Paul fished the last one. We did pretty well. I was just on them. And I was like, Paul, throw this. And I think in the rankings right now, you're still sitting decent.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're sitting at like, I don't know. You're not top 10, but.
No, I'm real close. I think I'm like 13th or 14th right now. I was in the top 10 the whole time until this last tournament, but I had to fish Saturday and I had to deal with 20 mile an hour north winds. So
yeah, you did not get the
better. I think I did like 5.543, I think, was my 3 fish total, which was horrible. But I was honestly happy to have 3.
Yeah. I'm sitting in 20th right now. And there's 80 people that are signed up for the individual. So I was like, it's funny because you are like 13th or whatever, and Danny's 12th.
Yeah.
Corey's first.
Yeah.
I'm 20th. Mark's 21st.
Yeah.
I think Ricky's 29th and Paul's 30th.
Yeah.
It's like everybody that fishes in our group.
Yeah.
We're all
sitting.
We're all sitting and battling like back and forth each week.
The thing about it is, if you have one good day, if you can get that magical 15-pound plus three fish day, then you're, I mean, we're right there. We're back in it. Consistency is the biggest key, I think, in this whole situation. As long as you consistently bring in 5 to 8 pounds and you have that one really good day, you could blow everybody out of the water.
Yeah. I haven't had that day yet, but I've been consistent. We haven't missed a tournament. Corey had that day, though, at the rip.
Right off the rip.
16 pounds.
Yeah.
Almost.
No, was it off the rip or was it number two? I think it was the number two tournament. He had the 9 pounder.
Oh, it was. It was number two.
Yeah.
It was number two because it was on Rayburn.
Yeah.
But he caught that 9 mm-hmm. something, and then he had a 5, and then had like a big 2 or a 3. Like, and he was catching them on damn frog and chatterbait.
If we can just figure out the summer offshore pattern, I think we'll do well.
That's where we're going to have to because most of the people, all the older people are for sure going to fish for about 3 hours in the afternoon. It's going to get dark. They're going to go inside. They're going to take a nap. They're going to wake up. They're going to go back out at a...
Yeah, for the night tournaments. Yeah, that's for sure going to happen.
And wake up at like 5, go back fishing around like 5:40 and fish for 2 or 3 hours. So in that like 8 hour gap, we just need to...
I think we just need to hit brush piles.
Oh, just, yeah.
Just brush pile it up.
Just jig and brush piles. Yeah. Try to catch a fucking slunch.
Yeah.
But talking about the tournaments, I think the first segue will be me and you who were talking about it. And we've been talking, me and the boys have talked about before, starting our own.
Yeah.
The Bayou Dragon Invitational.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had a lot of success with the frogging tournament that we have. If people don't know, every year, this is our third year we've done it this past April. And it was it's a frogging tournament. Teams of four, bring in your best 15 frogs. And, like, from the first year, we had, like, 21 teams to the third year where we have 34 teams.
Yeah.
Which, for frogging, so, I mean, and it's four-person teams. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
You know... We've been bringing in 100-plus people to the Crawfish Hideaway where we host it over in Anahuac. It just keeps growing. And fishing is going to be a lot more accessible for, you know, the general public.
Yeah,
frogging. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be we've talked about it. And we've talked about it on our podcast before. There's a tournament my grandfather started years ago. The Two Moon Junction, and Ryan kind of brought this to my attention here recently, very recently. It was like, hey, we need to do this tournament, but we need to do it in that style,
yeah,
which I think would be more appealing to, you know, just the general run-of-the-mill fisherman. So what we're wanting to do, basically, is we want to do a two-day tournament, which I think is going to, you know, for the local business, automatically is going to be bringing in people staying places, you know.
Yeah.
People will be happy with getting some extra business around. But two-day tournament, and basically all the money is going to be going back to the people. You do two-day tournament, you pay for, say we have 50 teams, you pay top 10 first day, top 10 second day, top 10 overall. You have big bass, you know, day one, day two, big bass overall.
Yeah.
I think it makes it more appealing.
Spread the money out, basically.
Yeah. When you brought it to my attention like that, I'm like, yeah, I think that would be more appealing to people to pay the entry fee, which isn't that much, but whatever we decide what it's going to be, you pay the entry fee, you have two full days, and technically three, to either make your money back or make a little chunk of change.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got the opportunity to win, you know, money both days in the top 10 or big bass. You have the opportunity to win, you know, basically three prize pots. Top 10 day one, be in the top 10 on day two, and then you're obviously, if you do that, you're going to be in the top 10 on the overall. So that's three wins right there for you.
Yeah, but so, like, I know multiple people this, like at the Two Moon this year, that didn't make top 10 day one.
Yeah.
Place good day two or had a good weight, and then it just they ended up getting a top spot.
It works out, you know. So
because like Alex and them beat me and Rance this year, like I think me and Rance were sitting. We got fourth, fifth, and sixth overall.
Yeah.
We got fourth first day, fifth the second day, sixth overall.
Yeah.
Alex and them, I don't think, got a place day one. And then the second day, they came out with like 18 pounds. They were right out of the money, I believe, or they were right in that last spot.
Yeah.
But then they ended up getting like fifth or sixth or fifth or fourth overall. So they ended up making a pretty good.
Yeah, they ended up doing well.
So that's something we're talking about doing. You know, if we do it the way like our tournament is, it's going to be $300 a boat, two-person team, or you can fish individual. We know there's going to be people that want to do that. You weigh in, you know, your five fish, just like a normal tournament, your best five, you know, each day, day one, day two. And it's going to be legit. We'll have lie detectors. We're going to have, you know, scale masters. We will have, you know, accommodations like to, as in food and drink, like water, stuff like that there.
Yeah.
We want it to be a big deal. And we want to talk about it on the podcast because, you know, anyone that's interested in sponsoring, anyone that's going to be interested in helping, you know.
Even anyone has a suggestion of what they'd like to see.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why we're bringing it to the general public because, you know, this is a new concept that we're trying to work out. And, you know, it doesn't take long to start one, but also we just want to make it right. You don't want the first year's going to be a telltale.
We want to be attractive for people to fish, and we want it to be, you know, to where you spread the money out and make it appealing to people to go out and fish and, you know, make it fun. It's fun to go out and say, hey, I placed, I got some money.
Yeah.
So,
but then I think, you know, just even I fish a lot of tournaments, and most of them I don't get money in.
No.
And it's, to me, it's just that it's fun to do that. Like the tournament style fishing, you know, to me what, and I still do it, but like the least fun for me, and there's thousands of people that do it, is like the singular fish, big bass, yeah. Like, you know, that to me is like, oh, you're fishing for 8-9 hours a day looking for one fish that 5,000 other people are looking for.
I feel like the big bass is a lot more luck. It takes some skill, but you also have to have a lot of luck going your way, right, to get that bite.
Yes.
But I think it's more skill-based to go out there and try to catch your best five and compete that way.
Yes, for sure. Like, and if anyone says otherwise, then it's like you're young and you know how to live scope like a sumbitch, and you can go out in 50 foot of water, and it's like, dude, it's so easy to catch big fish. Well, the majority of people – like me including, I mean, I'm still pretty young, but at 30 years old, I was like the live scope wasn't a thing. I didn't grow up fishing like that. Yeah. You know, you beat the banks in the spring and then you went to deeper water during the summer or winter. That was it. You didn't know what the hell you're fishing. You couldn't see what you were throwing at, you know, general idea. But so I think the majority of people, the recreational fishermen, that would fish this, you know, would enjoy an actual tournament style five fish.
And the 2-day format's fun too, because I mean, I've done it in the Two Moon. Last year, I tanked day one. I think I weighed in two fish. And then I came back on day two and placed in a top three, and I ended up getting a top three and an overall for the
tournament. You did.
So I mean, it gives you that opportunity to, hey, still win money even if you don't do good on day one, or vice. It happens vice versa, people too.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's fishing is, especially bass fishing, is one of the hardest thing. You can sit there and think, I got this figured out. This is what is going to happen. You can go and pre-fish for a week, figured them out, go out, and then one thing change, or just the fish aren't biting that day. At least you have a reset. Going into day two, it's like, hey,
yeah,
I'm going to and you might not even have a clue. I mean, like you last year,
this year I did that. This year I had them patterned. Day one, weren't there. Day two, I said, screw it, we're just gonna go blind, and ended up doing better on day two than day one. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy, and that was my best tournament this year in the Lone Star tournament. Yeah. Like I thought all week I'm gonna go to where I fished the Two Moon.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's fish there. I went 2 days before and didn't get a single fish. And I was like, screw it. I'm not fishing the day before. I'm going to go and just wing it.
Yeah.
And I had my best tournament day.
Yeah. That's like me too. When Brooks fished with me, I just winged it. I had an idea, but then I said, you know, I knew because you fished on Wednesday, you said there were fish in this one area, but I just went blind. I just went and kind of just messed around the day before, ended up catching a freaking 6-6.
Yeah, that, you got to love that.
Yeah. And then I said, well, I know I'm going to start that morning on a same area as I caught the fish the afternoon before, but a whole different pattern, ended up just absolutely smoking them. Dude, so.
Talking about catching, I have – so, I think I've fished the Two Moon, the Two Moon itself. It used to be the Oilman's, which is a big tournament. Like, you have Louisiana, Texas, yeah. Oilman's, and that's kind of how this Two Moon Junction got, you know, started. But, like, this was, like, the 13th year of the Two Moon, 14th year, something like that. And I think 5 or 6 of the tournaments I have, you know, I usually get up there the whole week before. I pre-fish. I have shafted myself at least 5 times, with one time a 9.5, one time a 8.5. One year I caught 2 6s, like one of them the day before. I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God. It's so frustrating. Then you go out, and I mean, I've won big bass in that tournament before. I've won that tournament with a, and it wasn't even the year I caught the 8.5 pounder during that. I didn't even win that one. I won it on a sheer fucking just, we didn't even, were the year that you, the second day you fished by us.
Yeah.
And you ended up getting in the money. Like, I didn't pre-fish that one time.
Yeah.
We didn't touch it one time.
Just went down there.
We just went down there, winged it, and ended up 2 days in a row putting a.
It's fun, man. It's,
and I think a 2-day tournament will give people who don't fish a lot, who are going to be interested in fishing this, yeah. you know, Bayou Dragon Invitational, Bayou Dragon Open, whatever we want to call it, you know, the first day, they might not get to pre-fish, so the first day will be their pre-fish, just hoping to the second day get some money.
Yeah. And speaking of pre-fish, it's not going to be, you know, off limits or any of that stuff. We want people to bring fish to the scales. So you could fish Thursday, or, you know, if we have it on a Friday, Saturday, which is what we do with the Two Moon, you know, we might do it on Saturday, Sunday, kind of just depends.
Just to make, well, it'd be probably more accessible for people.
Yeah. But, I mean, you could fish all up to the, you know, the evening before. It's we're not going to do off limits or any of that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of that. I mean, we're not professional. There's no one. It's not a professional tournament.
No, it's a good old boy get together, have a good time, chance to win some money, just compete and have fun, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, the money's really not why I bass fish. I just like competing. I like to see if I can stay consistent. I like to just I just enjoy the whole aspect of it. You know?
Yeah. And I'm not gonna. And honestly, because if I know there is a couple of pro fishermen that. Like, look into this, like, or that follow us, or I got buddies that are. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with them fishing it.
No.
Because I'm not going to say I'm a better fisherman than them. They do it for a living, but it's bass fishing.
Yeah.
I've seen what they can do. They can go out and get this zero.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would also be if we had a couple of pros that end up fishing it and they get beat.
Yeah, that's even good bragging rights.
Oh, the bragging rights that, you know, the normal fisherman's like, hey, I just beat so and so on a 2-day tournament, you know?
Yeah.
I think that kind of thing would be even more appealing, you know?
Yeah.
And if not, have you know, like, I think Andrew would love to be a part of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think he would be.
For sure.
We've had him on a past podcast, by the way, Andrew Upshaw.
And I honestly, you know, I've been chatting back and forth with Dakota Ebear recently, and I think he'd like to. I mean, even if he doesn't fish it, he lives on Rayburn, so he'd probably come by and say hi at the very least if he's not fishing an Elite Series tournament somewhere. But
yeah,
you know, so
there's a couple of guys that I think would be very interested in, you know, coming, spreading their knowledge, hang out, just BS.
Yeah,
because I mean. Like we were talking about before the podcast, like,
and there's a lot of pros that live on Rayburn. I think Rayburn would be also. We were talking about this earlier, and I guess I kind of spilled the beans and didn't mean to. But we're talking about Rayburn because number one, it's a safe lake.
Yes, yes.
You know, we don't have to worry about boat lanes. We don't have to worry about a lot of stumps unless you cut across the Black Forest and not paying attention, not not going to say any names, but I'm the one who did that. And
yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I didn't hit anything. I don't know how.
And, well, you know, don't worry. Iaconelli ran into a fucking a bank on Taylor's Bayou. So we're.
Yeah. But I mean, it's accessible. There's a lot of, you know, people who are familiar with the lake, and there's a lot of good venues on the lake. So
yeah, I think that'd
be a good spot.
It's just the smartest play on that deal. Mostly for safety. And I'm not trying to be like one of those people like, oh, we only advocate safe. I mean, if you followed us long enough, you know, we can be dinguses, but like getting to like people out of the group into something that we want to host, definitely safety is going to be the number one thing. So Rayburn, you know, cause there's gonna be guys that want to bring their kids out. There's gonna be, it'd be safe. And there's people that are out of towners or just not close enough to make that drive daily to fish a 2-day tournament. There's plenty of places to stay on Rayburn, you know, just hotels and, I mean, hell, Rayburn Country is a dank-ass place.
Speaking of kids, too, I think we would like to, if we could find the right sponsor, to do a kids, you know, first, second, third, daily, and overall, single fish, big fish for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we can find a sponsor that will sponsor that. It doesn't have to be money. I mean, obviously, kids are happy with anything. Gift card, trophy, something.
Well, I mean, we could do rod and reel combos.
Yeah.
I think that would be something interesting, and not trying to just play off like the McDonald's, because I definitely don't want it to be like that at all. But if you know, if there's a child, you know, 12 or under or something like that, depending on what age we want to choose, they have catfish, brim, bass, and something else, you know. I would be willing to throw money in for, you know, the biggest catfish caught by the biggest brim, biggest whatever, you know. Kind of like,
tell you, with kids, having a kid or having two boys, that one of them that's fishing competitively right now, he doesn't care about anything but a trophy to put in his room. He just wants that trophy.
And that's the easiest thing to get.
And that'd be cool. So
I think doing something with that would be – I think that would be more enticing for, you know, the children to make their dads.
Absolutely.
Hey, or moms, whatever.
Absolutely.
Hey, we're going to do this.
You know, and I just think it'd be fun. It'd be good for the Bayou Dragon brand. It'd be good for that area. It'd be a tournament that, you know, most of the tournaments that you see that are not sanctioned or anything like that are single dayers. They usually have 30 or 40 guys that enter it, 30 or 40 teams on a good one. And they only pay like first through third.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's.
Which is fine. I fish those tournaments.
Yeah, they're
too.
Fun. But I think it'd be cool to have one to where, you know, it's a 2-dayer and there's some strategy that gets involved. Or, you know, it just makes it a weekend for somebody to go up to the lake and go fishing.
Yeah, for sure.
Make a vacation out of it.
Yeah, bring your family up there. Fish out of a pontoon boat. I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
But, you know, follow the rules. You literally just said that perfectly. Like, pay out, give back to the people that are fishing in it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's nothing that goes back to the house. You know, it's just
no, no, we don't need the money. I would rather just, I want something to bring people together.
Yeah.
And there ain't nothing, I mean, you know, more like bass fishing. I mean, it is,
I mean,
beautiful.
Want it to be the tournament that everybody looks forward to going to every year. We don't want it to be a one-time thing. We want it to be successful and we want it to go on every year.
Yeah.
For a foreseeable future.
Yes, for sure. I mean, just with people, you know, like we said,
yeah,
I guarantee we can get 40 or 50 boats. Like, if we can get 50 other boats of people that we don't know, you know, and you, truthfully, if we can get, if by some way we get 100 boats that enter in,
that's a lot of money spread out, man.
Yeah, we'll pay 20 places. You know, you still want it to be worth your time and effort, and if you fish real well, you want to get compensated well, but also, if there's 100 teams, pay top 20. Then, you know, make it where, you know, first place still gets a couple
of grand. With 100 teams, you could do top 10 daily and then top 20 overall or something along that. I mean, you can make it to where the money spreads out. It's just a matter of putting pen to paper, which we will do once we gauge the amount of interest, you know. So, if you're watching this, DM the page, you know. Get on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook and send a private message, say, hey, I'm interested. Let us know. That way we can kind of gauge
the following we'll have. That way we can kind of figure out how we're going to do it per the amount of boats.
Yes.
You know.
So. And I'll get with Casey, and I know he'll want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And his wife, they're the ones that handle the Froggin' Tournament entry fee, which they use, like, they have like a PayPal account. So then you get a list of people, you get the names, yeah, the team names, all that stuff. We'll have announcers, which, I mean, like, I'm not going to fish in it. I'll be working it. Ryan, Mitch, people like that, we'll just, you know, coordinate. But yeah, Mitchell, who everybody knows, will be the announcer for this thing.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time. And truthfully, it shouldn't be too hard. We can probably get live music.
Yeah. You
know, have like a concert afterwards. We finished the tournament at, you know, 3 o'clock, you know, have an hour of, you know, getting everything situated, do the payouts, and then, you know, we're just grilling up Zumos and DJs and have some live music going on or something like that. I mean, just to be a good time, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it'll entice the weekend warrior fisherman.
It'll be fun, for sure.
And, you know, hell, if you want to fish your John boat, you want to fish, you know, in your $100,000 freaking Icon, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You can
do whatever.
You can do whatever. I mean, I fished the RTS tournament, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It was like 185 teams one time, but it was like, I think it was Big Five. It was Big Five fish, and then there was like but they paid out like multiple big bass deals. It was a little bit different than like a normal one. There's like one big bass. There's like five big bass, and there's like top. They did like a percentage deal, however many people did it. So I think they paid the top 18 or 30 teams, however it was. But it wasn't like money. It was like gifts.
I think we'll model this one, you know, if there's 50 boats, 100 boats, 150 boats.
Yeah.
When we say boats, I mean, obviously, you can fish a team, two guys in a boat. But you can also, if you're the guy who likes to fish by yourself, you can enter yourself, and you could be your boat. You could be the team. You can be a one-man team if you want to be. There's guys that like to fish alone. There's guys that like to fish with a partner. You could do either way. You know, $300, I think that's a good number.
I think it's a very fair number.
You know, that way you can, you have it's $150 a person if you're splitting it, or, you know, $300 for a single guy who's into fishing by himself. It's still not outlandish, you know, for the chance to win what you can win back, you know. So
hell yeah. I do want to give a shout out. I don't know if you noticed my shirt, the old bourbon bullshitter, which is perfect because we usually drink bourbon on this. Old Big Chief with the Whiskey Trip podcast, they hooked us up with these shirts a while back, and I thoroughly cherish them. But so the fishing this year so far has been second to none.
Oh, it's been incredible.
Fantastic. And not just on the lakes, like, because there's a lot of people that listen to us or whatever that don't have the accessibility of, you know, running to Rayburn or going to Toledo or doing this. Like, just even if you're pond hopping, fishing your local reservoir, whatever, it's been good everywhere.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Because two tournaments in a row I've fished, you sent me a damn picture of your son both different times with 7-plus pounders.
Yeah. No, he's done well this year. On private water, he's, you know, when I say private water, I'm talking launch a boat, but, you know, like a bass club situation. He's caught an 8-12. A 7-10, and a couple fives and sixes. My 3-year-old, obviously I set the hook on it, but handed him the rod. He caught a 6, and then Brooks in a tournament actually caught a 5. It was 5-13. So
yeah,
it's been a good year. And then I've caught my personal best on Toledo this year. Haven't caught anything big on Rayburn, but I've caught a really good one on Toledo. I had a couple really good fish on Toledo this year, so.
Yeah, I have not.
Yeah.
I mean, been great fishing, numbers-wise. We
caught a lot of numbers.
Oh, man. Dude. Me and you, so one tournament, So me and Ryan kind of double dipped one weekend. I remember we were fishing the Lone Star Bass Club, and then we signed up for the Valero Big Bass Splash.
Yeah.
Just in case we got a big fish while we're fishing that tournament. Well, while we were fishing that on Rayburn, Mitchell and Tanner, who y'all know, they've been on the podcast. Yeah. You know, they're on the most recent podcast. They fished the Goodyear Bass Club on Toledo.
Yeah. And I've been on Toledo the whole week.
Yeah. So was I.
Absolutely smashing all week.
I was up there the 2 weeks before. Like, Toledo's been hot. That day, we're fishing on Rayburn, and we did pretty good.
Yeah.
We did decent. We caught fish.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just them, but it was funny it was them, but everybody was struggling that day.
On Toledo, yeah. And so leading up to that day, I had caught a 7-8, numerous fours and fives, and Porter and I witnessed an 11-2 being caught.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – okay, so that's a whole story.
That's a whole other story right there.
Yeah, that was we went pre-fishing the day before, right?
Yeah, we were pre-fishing Rayburn.
We went pre-fish Rayburn the day before.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get an idea of what the hell we were going to do, because I hadn't fished Rayburn in a month.
Yeah.
I've been almost 21 days on Toledo. So I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. Let's try to just carry on what we're doing here or there. I mean, bass fishing is bass fishing, but also it's not. Anyone that actually bass fishes knows. So we go on Rayburn. We catch a few. You know, we kind of got a game plan. We're on our way back, and it's like probably about a 30-minute drive. We're staying on Toledo, which is even better. We're staying on Toledo fishing Rayburn, and we get back to the house, and we're sitting in the driveway, you know, about to crack a beer open. Been a long day.
Yeah, and so the house that I like to rent on Toledo, the front driveway, there's a pier and a little cove. The backyard is the lake as well. So we're backed in. Actually, I think we were pulling up, and I was like, that dude's got a good fish.
Yeah, no, we were literally pulling up, about to back the boat into the driveway, and you said, well, he has a decent fish on. You know, as you're doing the whole backup thing, he's still fighting this fish, so it's like, oh, he must have a really good fish on.
Yeah.
You do the whole deal, we back up, we're about to crack a beer open, and you're like, oh, shit, he has a good fish on. You see him, like, do the old pull it up, go down in the boat real quick. So we're just kind of like watching from afar, and they finally like see that we're watching, like, hey, do y'all have a working scale? We don't have one that works. It's like, yeah, we do. Ryan jumps in the boat, grabs it, walk down to the pier, and they pull out a sure enough Ned. Whoop.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Ned.
And the biggest fish I've ever seen in person.
One of the biggest I've seen. Like, yeah. I've been doing this my whole life.
Yeah. I'm only on year three.
So. Yeah. And I'm saying I'm on year 20-something, and that was in my top. So, and especially, and I'll get to it, post-spawn. Let you be. So, Ryan's showing them. They pull out this freaking Ned of a fish, and I have it. I'll actually... Like we're talking, I'm going to post this video at this spot right here, right about here. And they pull this net out, and they can't figure out the damn scale.
Yeah.
But as soon as it comes out of the live well, Ryan's like, that's over 10.
Yeah, 100%. That's over 10. 100%. That's over 10.
I was like, that's a sure enough net. And he ended up being 11-3,
I think is what I yelled out 11-2 on the video, and then we stopped the video and I got the fish to kind of just settle. Yeah. And it was like 11-3 or 11-4. It kept bouncing back and forth. I mean, regardless.
Yeah.
We're not, who gives a shit about a couple ounces? It was over 11 pounds.
Yes. It was a straight up stud.
And when you see this fish in this video right about here,
yeah,
you will be like, oh my God. Because I was just, and the crazy thing is, off that pier, I had thrown 50 pounds of cattle cubes for my kids to catfish and perch fish over. So those guys go in there and catch this bass. And it was just incredible, man. Just incredible fish. And, I mean, it was all in the same week. And so.
Remember what they caught it on? And I'm, take it back. I really can't. This has been months ago. I can't remember if it was post-spawn, pre-spawn. Regardless.
Yeah. It was.
I have the video. I'm going to post it right about here. It was a solid fish.
Yeah.
Like, very big fish. Bigger than I've ever caught.
Yeah.
But do you remember what they caught it on?
A wacky worm.
Wacky worm.
Buddy, I spent the entire week absolutely putting a clinic on with the fairy wand and the wacky worm. I caught my seven, my big seven. I caught a couple fives, a bunch of fours, a bunch of threes. I mean, I spent the week mashing them. And me and you went, Fish Rayburn, came back. They did that. Did we fish that afternoon? We fished that afternoon, didn't we?
The tournament day?
No, the pre-fish day. Didn't we fish Toledo that afternoon?
No.
We didn't. Okay.
We didn't fish that. Before we start going into that, because I know what you're about to bring up. What's great about Toledo Bim, they have the Share Lunker program. If you catch a bass over 10 pounds, you can go get a free replica of this fish.
Yeah, it's separate from the Texas Parks and Wildlife Share Lunker.
Yeah.
It's a Toledo Bend deal.
It's a Toledo Bend deal. So if you catch over a 10-pounder, you can go get it weighed in. And then if you catch one over 12 or 13, it's like the bigger deal. Whatever. It goes like, you know, national, whatever. But so these guys have an 11-4, 11-3, whatever it is. And I was like, bro. And these are two, like, 60-plus-year-old men fishing, pre-fishing the team trails, which is a big tournament, you know. And I was like, hey, y'all have, like, that is a for sure free replica. And they're like, well, where's the nearest place we can do it? I was like, well, Fin and Feather's not that far, you know, from where we were. I was like, maybe 20-minute drive, 30-minute drive. And they're like, ah. Threw it right back in. I'm like, silent crying because I've been doing this for 30 years fishing. I've never caught one over 10 pounds.
Just
these guys on a wacky worm.
Yeah. Toledo's so special, man. I mean, Brooks caught that eight last year, that high seven last year, almost eight. This year I caught almost an eight, right at eight, high seven, a big six. I mean, it's just such a cool place. Like, I love that. Like, and it's so big.
And
so I don't think I fished a single, other than the week that I stayed down south, I don't think I fished tournament-wise. I know for a fact I didn't fish the same place twice for a tournament.
Dude, and Andrew Upshaw, who he's been on the podcast, y'all can follow him. He has a Let's Fish TV.
Yeah.
Like he literally said it best in a video here recently, very recently. He was talking about he said, people say that there's no more big fish on Toledo. He's like, there's still big fish. And, like, in that video, he caught, like, a six-pounder and, like, a big four or five, you know. And, like, the numbers are there. The big fish are there.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, it was the best fishing lake in the nation.
It's still ranked high.
Still ranked high, and it's just it's been fishing
but let's,
so high.
Let's get to the –
the afternoon.
Yeah, so Porter and I go to Rayburn, and we do well. And we told – so I've been there for a week. And Mitchell and Tanner are fishing the Goodyear. And I say, look, if you don't want to fight – it's a big tournament. Goodyear's a big tournament.
Yeah.
And I said, if you don't want to fight the crowd, you need to go down where I'm fishing. Told them where we were at. And they make the decision, yeah. And, I mean, I've been sending pictures all week. Like, before I knew they were fishing tournament, I've been sending pictures of big fish. Just, you know, we have a group chat going. I'm just bombing them with pictures. And so we tell them, hey, I tell them this is what they do. They decide to commit to it and go down there, and they fish that morning. And I'll let Porter go from here. But
so, well, there's a few texts exchanged while we're fishing on Rayburn. They're fishing on Toledo, just like the normal, hey, how you doing? Nah. Like, they never really answered me, like, how are y'all doing? They just say, y'all got y'all's limit. Like, yeah, we caught our limit in the first hour. Like, okay, you know, undoubtedly, it was tough on Toledo that day. Like, go forward, only one person in that tournament actually weighed in five fish.
Yeah, like, it was just like one of those mornings.
They won, and it wasn't a good stringer either. It was one person had five fish, the second place person had four fish, and then everybody after that had three or less. everybody. And I knew a bunch of teams that fished it who were all very good fishermen. Yeah. Until Toledo that morning just fished rough, didn't fish good. It was like, it's bass fishing. It's one of those days. But it was so funny because Ryan had been mashing on him south of where, you know, Mitch and Tanner were thinking about fishing. They went down there on a whim, didn't do good. Didn't skunk, but I think they weighed in two fish.
Yeah.
So me and Ryan fished all day, fished our asses off in Rayburn to get the stringer that we did. Caught fish, but it was a, not going to say it was the easiest day I've ever had. Get back, and Ryan's like, you want to go fishing? I was like, yeah.
We literally back in the driveway,
yeah.
Throw some beers in the cooler, grab one of my children.
Yeah, yeah. Grab his six-year-old, and we're like.
No, we grabbed, it was Ryder.
Oh, no, it was Ryder. Yeah, no, Brooks was grinding on catfish on the pier.
Yeah.
We grabbed Ryder, three-year-old. We're like, let's go catch some bass. Let's go see, because I heard it was hard from my grandfather, my uncle, Mitch and Tanner, Bergeron, like
everybody,
like seven or eight people I know that fish this tournament. All of them basically say skunked.
Yeah,
they basically skunked, and so we went out. We are like, we have about 2 hours to go, dude. We put on a clinic. I'm talking standing on their heads. There's a video I'm gonna post right about here of that was Ryder actually had one on his own. He just didn't set the hook hard enough. You know, he's like, he's fighting it for a minute.
Yeah, 3 year old, you know.
He's so. Three. So, I mean, there's not enough ass on that thing. But he had it for a second. I'm filming. And you see the look of despair. He's like, oh. And then Ryan, as Ryan's on his knees, you know, like comforting his son, he goes, whoop. He goes, oh, I got one. I got a fucking good one, poor. Like, this is a sure enough.
Yeah.
Dude. Ended up being
almost five.
Four, almost five,
five,
yeah.
Four.
Like on the ferry one, which is, you know.
Yeah. Everything is super like elevated when you hook one on the ferry one.
I've been loving fishing that ferry one. Ferry one, spinning reel, light rod.
Light line. Light people, leader.
Yeah, light. Everything about it's like real light tackle going after big fish. And it works. But just for people not knowing what the ferry wand reference is.
Yeah.
But, like, on video, I'm literally watching Ryder. He misses one. Ryan catching one. And we just – I'm talking put on a clinic. So we started a group snap that didn't last but about 30 minutes on that thing. I'm snapping – Ryan snapping, I'm snapping each other catching fish.
Or just
for 2 hours. Them.
I mean, we probably caught 17 or 18 pounds.
Yeah.
Or no. For our five best that day. I mean, it was just.
I wish we would have caught that on Rayburn that day. Yeah. We would have won Rayburn in the 1.5 hour, 2 hour period on Toledo. But, and even his son was catching, like a 3 year old.
Yeah.
Catching his own, like hooking him himself.
Yeah, he's got a little 5 foot long spinning rod, little ice fishing rod that I've made set up, and he's throwing a wacky worm and just mashing them with us.
Yeah, solo handedly catching fish. Like, we're talking shit to Mitch and Tanner, which
we're letting him net our fish.
Yeah, they're good fishermen. It was just funny that they were so pissed that they had such a rough day there, and we went to the exact spots that we had dropped pins. And straight up,
it's just a matter of morning and afternoon. It was just afternoon feed, is what it was. I mean, that's how bass fishing goes.
And that's the synopsis of basically the 2 day tournament, like we're talking about. Full circle, call it a callback. You can have that day where it just nothing works. Nothing. I'm backlashing. I can't set the hook. I can't do this. Fish are biting. I'm not catching. Or I'm fishing good. Fish aren't biting.
Yep.
It happens to everybody. Happens to the pros. The pros will actually tell you it happens more than anything. I mean, you can be on fish. You can do this. You can do that. But it's just funny, just a matter of hours that me and you put on a clinic. Mitchell and Tanner, I don't know what they were doing. They were just chilling at the morgue. They were dead. Yeah. They didn't catch shit. We did it. And, you know, we've had multiple days this year where me, you, and one of your sons have just straight up put on a clinic. Yeah. Ryder, Brooks, you know, we've had a – me and you've done a lot of bass fishing this year.
We have. Yeah.
This is a very bass fishing oriented podcast, this episode, but
yeah, we've done a lot. I mean, I haven't fished anything but bass, and that's 2 years ago I fished everything but bass.
I know.
So, but I mean, I'm so into it now. Shit, I got a new boat on the way. I mean, we're just ate up. I'm ate up with it.
You're ate up. I've been
made up with
it. I think people that are about it are ate up with it. And we are Mitchell's actually in the background right now. We just got done talking about
his hair is so timeless.
Oh God. If I know everybody that actually listens to this does follow Mitchell McCall. Yeah.
Mustache and mullet, Dragons. Brother. The double M.
I mean, he's the face. Yeah. He's the face.
Him.
People love him. The he's children love him. It's funny, mom kept calling me this past week. Just I was rocking my child to sleep and she called me like five times and I kept ignoring it. I was like, I said, what do you want? She goes, hey, I was just trying to call you because she's at some friend's house and the kid loves the Bayou Dragons, you know? And I was like,
call Mitchell.
Well, she was just trying to prove a point that she was the mom of a Bayou Dragon. But she said when he first was like, hey, he was wearing a hat or something like that. And his mom was like, well, this is a mama Bayou Dragon, and he off the rip, Mitchell?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, Porter. And he goes, who?
Yeah, who? Who's Porter?
That's literally, he didn't know who I was. She's like, look, pulled up the Instagram page or Facebook page, showed me on it, and he goes, I don't know him. That's like, funny. She's like, well, he's a part of it. Do you want to talk to him? And then he got excited. Yeah, let me talk to him. And I sat there and ignored because I was trying to rock 11-month-old asleep. But it was so funny. Like, he was like, Mitchell?
Mitchell.
That's the dude. Mitchell's the dude. He's good with the children. Speaking of child, he just a little guest appearance right now because he's about to have offspring within the next 48 hours. Yeah. So congratulations to Mitchell
McCall with
a little female on the way. No clue what the name is. He won't tell anybody, but congratulations, Mitchell, on the child coming forth. But back to bass fishing, the real more important stuff.
Yeah. I think we should talk about the other thing we're working out on, the other tournament series.
Yes.
So,
that is
little
really the reason why we're here today.
Yeah. Little hindsight. My 6-year-old Brooks, he is fishing a club called the Southwest Louisiana SWLA Junior Anglers Club. And it's a Bass Nation sanctioned club out of Louisiana. And they fish numerous lakes throughout the year, and you know, all these kids have bass numbers, BASS numbers, and they're fishing, you know, for points and to be ranked. And it's been a lot of fun, and it's been very, very, a lot of learning and very fun for the
very
kids.
Very eye-opening.
Yeah, and it's really cool because the club is for basically your elementary school kids, 6 years old to fifth grade. Or five years old to fifth grade. So if you have a kindergartner who's five up to fifth grade, and then it goes middle school, sixth, seventh, and eighth, and then you've got the high school kids. And the high school kids are, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. And they're fishing tournaments, and they're fishing for their own divisions. You have an elementary school division. You have a middle school and a high school. And then you also have an overall, and you have a big bass. And Brooks and I have been having a lot of fun in the younger kids under high school. So anything under high school, I can run the trolling motor. I can net their fish. I can help them cull, do things like that. Right? Now, I can't hook their fish or catch their fish. It's all on them. But I can also have a little dad side pot and catch my own fish and do that thing. So
yeah.
I still get to do a little fishing, but it's not for Brooks' point.
It's not his point. Yeah. That's not what the thing's about. It's about the kids.
It's about the kids. It just makes it a little bit less monotonous for the dads, you know.
Or moms. I've been there. I've captained a high school team before. It's frustrating. You're allowed to fish, but there's no incentive to it. All you're doing is catching a fish that potentially
could have been caught.
Could have been caught by him. Now, if there's a side pot, if there was something, in any kind of way of helping, you know, it'd been worth it. But it was almost his best to just run the trolling motor, Captain Morgan yeah. up in the front, and then
yeah.
let it just be.
So with that being said, in our area, Southeast Texas, which we have two of the best lakes in the country within yeah. an hour and a half, 2 hours from our house, there is no junior clubs. There's high school teams, but there's no junior club for the kids who are younger. So that's why Brooks and I have been fishing Southwest Louisiana. One of my really good friends, Josh Scott, and his wife, Tiffany, run that club. Josh is the president, Tiffany's secretary. We've got a really good tournament director. Well, I brought up the idea, let's start a sister club, Southeast Texas Junior Anglers. I told Porter about it and let the Bayou Dragons get involved kind of deal. And we're actively going through that now. It's a 501(c). It's a charitable donation club. There's no, you know, profits being made off of it. The kids' tournaments, every tournament they fish is free. Their prizes are gift cards and fishing poles and stuff given by sponsors. And everything that they do is just it's towards the kids. There's no cost at all for the kids to fish. The only cost they have is to get their BASS number and their tournament jerseys for the year. So they're looking at $80 for their club BASS dues and then their jerseys, whatever. If they don't have to buy a jersey. They don't want a jersey, they don't have to buy a jersey. But yep. it is what it is. And if your kid wants to be part of the club and fish, we're starting that. And it's going to be a really cool deal, and we're going to start kick that off in July. And the tournaments are going to be for our club. We're going to fish Toledo Bend, Sam Rayburn. We're going to fish the Angelina River, and we're going to fish Danby.
The Danby is the screwball in this.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, but it's going to be fun.
No, it's definitely
and the,
be fun.
And the great thing about it is you can drop your three worst tournaments for Angler of the Year, and it's just all kid-driven. It's so much fun, and we're actually going to have Brooks on the podcast here in a few, and he's going to tell yes. you he actually just won. He won the Gusto, everything, his division. He was the highest weight overall and the big bass winner for Rayburn.
Last that Southwest yeah, Louisiana
yeah.
League.
So not this the weekend before last. Not Memorial weekend, but weekend before last. And we're going to let him talk about his tournament fishing and how much fun he has and what we're
yeah,
looking forward to doing. Yeah.
It was another – callback. It was another weekend where I was fishing a tournament.
Yeah.
He was fishing a tournament.
Yeah, yeah. You were on Rayburn, too.
I was on the same lake, yeah. and he kicked my ass.
He'd have won the Veatch Basin deal.
He would have. Yeah. I was fishing that Veatch Basin deal.
Yeah.
Catching fish. Oh, God. I don't even know if I told you whole situation.
You had a trolling motor debacle, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a whole deal.
You told me. You said I lost my trolling motor.
I lost my trolling motor in the first 4 minutes. Battery blew up. Just straight up blew up. I fished the whole first half of that tournament with no trolling motor, just drifting. And it was a unique tournament. You can catch 10 fish. You and your partner can catch your lake limit, weigh in, hour delay, and then you went and go and do it again. And I did better on the first period with no trolling motor than I did the second period with barring my buddy Danny, who mutual friend, who let me use his boat, which is a lot nicer than mine, had a trolling motor, and ended up coming in worse the second period with the trolling motor.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Dude, I mean, we'll get into Brooks's day. It was an incredible day for as a dad.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It was an incredible day. I mean, that's, I was fishing, and he was smoking me. And we had just one of those days. And it didn't start off good. It just progressed into just one of those days.
We'll talk about forever, that. So. We'll talk about that. I just – basically anyone – I think it's going to resonate with anyone that's a dad that, your kid hit a home run. Your kid, aced a science project at school. Something that, made you proud of your child. You had that recently of, where he was above and beyond, and I'm excited to, share this time on the podcast with him.
And I'll say this, too, and this was said to me by a Bassmaster Elite Series guy on a conversation on a phone call that I had. Dakota Ebear and I were talking, and Brooks and I are actually going to go fishing with him Friday. And, know him through a mutual friend. He was gracious enough to advise fishing, but we got to kick, we kind of hit it off talking on the phone. And he said, I'll tell you this one thing. He goes, I played baseball as a kid. I didn't have a chance of going pro. He said, but I'll tell you the one thing that I think every kid who's an outdoors kid has a chance of going pro in. He goes, professional bass fishing. He goes, if they're harbored in it and they enjoy the outdoors, obviously don't press it on them, but if they love it, they have a better chance of being a professional angler, whether it be MLF, BASS, NPFL, whatever it may be. They have a college. They have a better chance of getting a scholarship or going pro in bass fishing than any sport. And I personally believe that, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
There's way more opportunity because you define your destiny when it comes to that.
Yeah, and I think
You do in sports as well, but it's a lot more obtainable in bass fishing.
Yeah, well, I think we're about to have we're about to get it from the horse's mouth, and I'm really glad to be spending some time with him here shortly on this.
I will say this: I was a super proud dad at his kindergarten graduation when they were telling everybody what they wanted to be when they grow up. And when they called Brooks's name, they said professional fisherman.
I'm going to put it right there. Yeah. I'm going to put that little video right there.
We have probably a future either MLF or BASS pro going to sit down with us here shortly.
Yeah. Well, next segment will be with old Brooks.
All right. So we are back. And we got a special guest to me. Semi-professional fisherman here, Brooks Warhola, my oldest son, and we were just talking about him fishing in the junior club and his tournament win. So say hello to everybody, Brooks.
Hi.
So Brooks, I was telling him how good you did on Rayburn. Do you want to tell us about your day and how it started and how it worked out?
Well, the day started by we weren't really catching many fish, but maybe like at noon, we start catching them like crazy on Wacky Worm. But the frogs and the buzz baits, they just didn't work out well. So I switched to maybe the spook, but nothing bit it either. Then after that, we switched to the Wacky Worm. Bam, we started catching them. I was like chilling catching fish, but something yanked my rod while my bait was in the water, and I'm like, that gotta be big bass, but I thought it was like an 8 or a 9, but it was just actually a 5. The weight, it was fighting really hard, so I thought it would have been like an 8 or 9, but it wasn't. But
so do you enjoy fishing in the junior angler club?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
I like how fishing is just too good. And I like how you get stuff like gift cards and stuff.
Yeah.
And I love fishing every day, so.
Yeah.
Fishing is just my thing.
So do you like competing against other kids?
Yep.
So what all did you win during that tournament? Like, you won what? You won your
biggest bass angler of... Angler.
Yeah, biggest, most pounds. Don't rub the microphone.
Okay.
You're just talking to it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I also won biggest bass.
You won biggest bass, your division, and then you had the heaviest weight for the whole tournament.
Yeah.
And the kid who was in second place, he actually won his division, but he wasn't in second place. The kid who he had more weight than, how old was he?
I don't know.
It was Mr. Josh's son, right? Caston?
Maybe 16.
Yeah, he was 16 years old. So, do you think that having a Southeast Texas Junior Anglers Club is going to put more people into the tournament scene for kids? Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want to see some more of your friends fish in bass tournaments?
Yep.
So, what would you say to somebody who's just getting started out in bass fishing? What would you tell them?
I'll tell them to start using Wacky Worm if they're a new starter.
Amen, brother.
That is probably the wisest words that a man has ever said about.
So what's your favorite three baits?
Wacky Worm, spinner bait, and Rattle Trap.
Rattle Trap. Rattle Trap's a good one. Yeah. You like a top bar too, though, right?
Yeah, I do love Spook. I would put Spook in 4.
Yeah, Fluke's number four.
Yeah.
So,
well, what it sounds like to me, Brooks, was that you went out, you laid everything on the line, and you really came to play the day of your tournament.
Yeah, I was going to try hard.
Yeah, and you won everything. You won biggest stringer, biggest bass. I mean, you really outdid yourself.
Yeah, I did.
What's funny?
I was going really hard on those kids.
I don't know if you were going really hard on those kids. You weren't just going hard on them kids. I mean, I was fishing a tournament on the same lake as you, and you whooped my butt.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, thanks. I wish I would have known you were fishing. I would have came and beat you up and took your fish.
So, Brooks.
They wouldn't have.
I know I wouldn't have.
What do you want to be?
Just don't have the right kind of wacky worm.
I guess not.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Professional bass fisherman.
Yeah.
You want to be on TV?
Yep.
Really? Who do you watch on TV right now? You know who you watch?
Ace videos sometimes.
Yeah, you watch that.
Outdoor Boys.
Ben Milliken.
Yeah.
Do you watch Dakota?
No, not
really. Dakota Eberry, yeah, you do. On Strike King, you fish against Kevin Van Dam. Remember?
No.
Yeah, you do.
I actually don't remember.
Oh, we watched that the other night. And who else did we watch? What's that guy? He went to school, where Molly went to school at Texas A&M. Tyler? Tyler's real fishing. You watched him the other night with me, too. Oh. So we don't watch cartoons usually. It's always YouTube.
Well, every time I walk in the house, he's, hey, Porter May, I'm watching this person fish this lake or this body of water or this. Or, you know, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Or he watches that dude that's like, I'm going to dig a 38-foot hole in the snow and I'm going to live in it for four weeks. Yeah. You know, and I'm like,
it's either survival or bass fishing usually. You remember we watched Mr. Dakota shoot that deer? Remember? Yeah. From his bass boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun, too.
Well, I'm definitely taking you, you know, into the world, you know. I'm going to have you with me, Brooks, for sure.
We're going
to. Because you've watched a lot more videos on how to survive than
so I have. We're telling everybody about the Southeast Texas Junior Anglers. What do you want to tell people about it? Do you want to tell people to join it? What do you want to tell people?
Start joining this club. It's really good. You can go in any sort of lakes. Toledo, Rayburn,
Angelina River.
Yeah.
And we're going to run it with a sister club, Southwest Louisiana Junior Anglers. So you could fish both clubs if you wanted to.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
And how do you like the idea of, you know, the best teams from the Texas side fishing against the Louisiana side for like a championship?
I think that would be cool.
You think that'd be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too. I think that'd be pretty dope.
So Friday, we're going fishing with a Bassmaster Elite Series Pro.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that's going to be good.
You think you're going to learn something from him?
Yeah.
What are you going to ask
him? But I already know.
If you can ask him one question, what are you going to ask Mr. Dakota?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I actually don't.
You going to ask him about live scope, or are you going to ask him about...
I don't really like live scoping, so I won't ask him about that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you're a real fisherman, Brooks.
That's what do you like? What's your favorite way to fish?
Like, sometimes the wacky rig and rattle trap.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask him what his go-to bait is?
Yeah, probably.
Would you rather fish grass or timber?
Grass.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like fish shallow or deep?
Pretty shallow and deep. I like both.
Yeah. Anything else you want to tell the people from the Bayou Dragons podcast?
Yeah, actually, Brooks, inform them of the page that you're going to start here soon.
Oh, yeah. What's your YouTube channel going to be called?
Get Hooked with Brooks.
And what are we going to be doing?
Hunting and bass fishing.
And bass fishing. Well, you already have a pretty unproportional head, Brooks. I don't want this to go to your head more, but you're one of the better bass fishermen that I associate myself with. I fished with you multiple times, and you've caught a lot of fish. I definitely think that you're going to be very successful.
So what are your biggest bass that you've caught?
The biggest bass, 8, and another 8 at the reservoir, and a couple 7s.
Yeah.
6 ain't that big.
So your biggest bass on Salida is 8, right?
Yeah.
What's your biggest bass on Rayburn?
I don't know.
You just caught it.
5?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought my biggest was like a 6.
No, you caught a 5.13 on Rayburn this past 2 weekends ago. That's your biggest on Rayburn so far.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's well, a good fish for well, being 6.
I do never fish Rayburn, so.
We always fish where?
Toledo.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Do you want to stand up and show everybody your Southwest Louisiana Junior Anglers jersey?
Yep.
You can stand up on the chair.
Yeah, so stand up on the chair so they can see it. Stand up here. So, all the kids who fish, they get jerseys like the pros.
Show them in your back.
Show them the backside. Put your hood on. Look at there. So, I mean, for Brooks, his heroes are professional bass fishermen, so this is really cool for him. And Southeast Texas is going to have the same kind of style, a little bit different, and we're going to have a few of the same sponsors, but a lot of different sponsors. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, yeah, and that's one reason this podcast, if you want to be a sponsor, you know, either donating time, donating money, donating, you know, equipment or whatever, you know, reach out to the Bite You Dragons Instagram. We'll link you to our email and we'll start talking about it. You know, this would be something for the kids. I mean, it's all about the kids.
And I can tell you being involved with it this past year, it's been really cool. Really special. It's fun to see those kids out there. It's fun to see those kids
like going out. When I was at the lake, I threw a little crankbait, but I on the back of the boat, I missed a 4-pounder.
Yeah, you lost a good one on that.
Yeah.
What do you think about all the other kids that fish with you? Is it fun to fish with them?
Yeah.
Are they your friends?
Yeah, it's a good challenge.
Do you look forward to seeing them when you get to the lake?
Yep.
You have fun at the weigh-in even if you don't catch fish with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. It's good camaraderie. It's a good time for all the kids. And, man, I just got to say that I've really enjoyed it, and I think it's going to be really, really, really cool for the Southeast Texas Junior Anglers and Southwest Louisiana as well. If anybody's in Southwest Louisiana that wants to get involved, you can also DM. I've put you in contact with those guys over there. Josh runs a great club, and he's a really good friend of mine, and he'll be happy to have you. And they fish a lot of cool places as well. They fish Caney Lake and Vernon, Calcasieu River, Sabine River, Toledo Bend, Rayburn, Angelina. Really cool little setup they have, and it's really challenging for the kids. It's fun. And, man, I just got to say, get your kids outdoors, you know. I will say this. Growing up, I played baseball, played all sports. The only thing that really stuck with me was fishing and hunting.
Yeah. That's the one thing I still do to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
I played everything.
Yeah.
I did everything. I hunted, I fished, I played sports, I ran track, I did this, I did that. You know what still resonates with me? Fishing. I still fish my ass off.
So, Brooks, is there any last thing you want to say to the Bayou Dragons podcast before you go?
You should always fish Rayburn or Toledo. They're the best rivers to fish.
Best lakes?
Yep.
Yep.
That is
and Angelina.
Angelina's fun too. That's a river. But yeah, no. Good advice. Anything else? You're done?
Yep.
All right. Thanks for coming on the podcast with us.
Okay.
Do you want me to call your mommy to come pick you up?
Nah.
You wanna stay here and watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, brother.
All right.
Yeah, brother. Just pop me a squat over there, brother.
Yeah. Go get you a spot over there, bro.
Drink your Sprite.
Yeah.
Go under.
Oh. Tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, do what you gotta do, brother. All right, get you a seat. Well, that was Brooks
Warhola. Warhola. Yeah. That is you know, that was a treat.
You might see him one day somewhere.
Yeah, you'll either see him on social media, you might see him professionally. You might be like, well, I saw him first, I saw him at a young age. I mean, hey, he's doing it. And he has high hopes, and I have high hopes for him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There's been multiple times where I've been fishing, you send me a photo of him with bigger fish, and I'm like,
he's a stick, man. He catches them. He does good. He's very patient, and he knows how to sling that wacky worm.
But he also
knows how to switch it up. I was very impressed, and I think we talked about that wacky worm. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was hanging up. All right, brother. So I will say this. I think Porter and I talked about it, but one thing that really impressed me, and this is not something I don't think you can teach somebody. I think it's something they just pick up, and it's probably, I guess it can be taught. I guess he saw it on, you know, YouTube or something. But we were fishing a creek mouth where a little creek dumped in the lake, and we were catching some fish on a wacky worm, and a bunch of shad started blowing up, getting blown up. And we will, buddy. Sorry. Anyways, these shad were blowing up, and without me telling him, with nothing else, he reels his wacky worm as quick as he can, throws it in the bottom of the boat, grabs his rod with his white spinner bait, flips it in there, and catches a high 2, almost 3 pounder for his tournament. And I was like, wow, that's okay. Did not expect that.
Ingenuity, and he's learning as he goes. He's mm-hmm. adapting to his situations. You learn that if you watch fishing, if you do any of that stuff, you know, or just in everyday life, you'd adapt and, you know, overcome. And he's learning that at a young age, a lot younger than when I was doing it, because I was just stuck in my ways. I caught one fish on, I don't think I threw anything other than Texas rig until I was probably a teenager, you know?
Yeah.
And he's throwing topwaters, he's throwing crankbaits, throwing rattle traps, he's doing all of that. So, I mean, more power to him. I love to see it, and I'm glad y'all got to see firsthand that, you know, he enjoys that Southwest Louisiana League. And, you know, I love to see that succeed. I really like Josh. I've cherished, you know, fishing against him in these Two Moon tournaments, and he definitely does host a really good tournament. I just hope that we can, you know, bring that in and do it Southeast Texas style, and really get the kids involved, the parents involved, and, you know, bring in a bunch of sponsors and do everything with that.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be a good thing for sure.
But I'm just still, your son's so well-spoken for a six-year-old. I'll tell you that. Or 6.5, he corrected me a minute ago.
Yeah.
He said, well, I'm already 6.5, though.
Yeah, he'll be 7 in August. And, man, I'm very proud of him. He's really taken to the fishing. He's in the background. That's where the hand signals and everything's coming from. But he's really, really taken to it. He's really adapted to it. And he's in love with it. And I'm super proud of him for that, because I have the love for it. And the reason that I really got in, I won't say got into bass fishing, but got back into bass fishing, did it as a kid. I didn't do it like seriously, was because of him, because he enjoyed doing it. So because his grandpa and uncle and everybody brought him, you know, I'm a saltwater guy. That's what I grew up doing, but I've made it a point to try to get good at bass fishing as quick as I could, just because I want him to learn from me and everybody around me. So,
yeah,
it's been fun, and we've enjoyed it, and we're getting a new boat, and we're going at it 110%.
Yeah, no, I love to see it, dude. I mean, because that's, you taught me the love for the saltiness, the offshore fishing, the, you know, inshore fishing, all that stuff. But whenever you transitioned over to that, you know, that freshwater fishing, and you've leaped and bound where I'm like, that's a competitor. That's why I fish with you. All these tournaments, I'm like, you compete, you grind, and you've resonated that with your child.
Yeah.
And like, I like fishing with him. There's not many six-year-olds or kids or, I mean, I fish with teenagers that I'm like, but like, I like fishing with him. I like fishing with Ryder too. Yeah. I mean, he's 3.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Ryder's gonna be the dark horse.
Oh, dude,
because he's gonna watch his brother. Yeah, dude, I'm gonna have a hell of a high school team.
Oh, dude, your high school team is going to be dope.
Yeah.
Hell, if they don't fish together, I will captain one of your sons. captain one of your sons.
I mean, obviously, Brooks can't fish with him until he's a junior, but I mean, they're gonna be stout.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping that my my child, which she's a female, but maybe her and Brooks by the time, or not Brooks, Ryder, you know, they're in high school, like his senior, her freshman year, however it works, they might fish together and we can just rotate captaining.
Brooks already knows where he wants to go to college for fishing.
Where's that?
I bet you can't guess.
God.
You already know.
Oh, God. I don't even want to. I'm not even saying.
I will say they're the best bass fishing league and best fishing college bass fishing team right now in this area.
Oh, in this area?
No, I mean, really, in the whole collegiate deal in the South. They're killing it.
He wants to fish at Lamar?
No. No. Texas A&M.
That's what I didn't really
want
you to say.
Yeah.
You know.
It wants to be an Aggie fisherman.
Well, hopefully he changes his mind in a few years. He's still young.
Where do you want to go now? You changed already? Where you want to go? You want to go straight pro out of high school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
now we're at straight pro out of high school. Watch out, Trey McKinney. He's coming for you.
Yeah. Easy. dude, I would love to see Brooks' YouTube channel just blow up past everybody's. Blow us out of the water. Yeah. Just so I can be like, I know that. Oh, if you got bigger than Mr. Beast,
yeah, if you get bigger than Mr. Beast, you've done something, brother. I'm going to retire and bass fish every day. Hell, I might go pro if you go better than Mr. Beast.
Yeah, if you go bigger than Mr. Beast, I will.
I'm going to go straight to the opens.
And I'll be your netter. I don't give a shit. I'll do whatever. I mean.
Oh, but, man, what a dream that would be, though, you know?
God. I just love that that's he's capable of being able to do that, have that dream. Because that wasn't a thing. Like, social media wasn't a thing when we were, you know.
No, that and high school bass wasn't a thing.
No. That, dude. That started.
My whole life path could have been changed if there was a professional fishing.
Oh, my God.
Like, not professional, but a high school sport being fishing.
Dude, I would have. That's all I would have done. Honestly. I probably would have gone from football straight to that.
I don't even think I'd have played football or baseball. I'd have been fishing.
Well, football wasn't in the same. Conflict with the time. I probably still would have played football. I would say I still would have ran track, but honestly, I probably would have been too hard on bass fishing. You know, that would have been.
You can't miss the spawn.
No, I'm not missing the spawn. The good thing is that the tournaments are on like weekends usually. So I would have been like running and going straight to the lake. Like,
dude, I'm so ate up now. That I wake up sometimes at like 1 or 2 in the morning just out of a dead sleep, and I can't go back to sleep because I'm thinking about the next time I go fishing, what I'm going to do different, how I'm going to do this, what tactic I'm going to try. Like, I make it a point that since I'm still in this learning phase, that I'm trying new stuff every time I go. Like, that's why I'm so excited about Friday. I might not even cast. I'm just going to sit there and watch Dakota and be like, how can I learn?
And if anyone thinks I'm joking, me and Ryan, most of our messages, 98% of our messages are talking about fishing. But like Thursday, 3:32 p.m., I haven't messaged you in a week. Like, we haven't talked in a week, and you just messaged me out of the blue. I wonder if the bass are wondering what I'm doing like I'm wondering about them.
Yeah.
And I just said, I like to believe they do. Like, that is the basically.
My biggest piece. Now, if I'm not fishing, is sitting in my boat and rigging. Just sitting in my boat and messing my rods and getting my stuff together, and I know how I'm going to catch fish, but I know how I'm going to try to catch fish differently. Like, I have tried so many different things this year. Like, I've learned how to Neko rig. Did not know what a Neko rig was until January of this year. Trey McKinney, watching his videos and stuff like that. And also, there's a bunch of them that are doing it, but Trey was one of them that I really like keyed in on how he was doing it. Dude, I mean, just watching, I'm watching YouTube as much as my kid is now because I'm so obsessed with it.
Yeah. I love to see it because that helps me more. I don't do as much research as you. So like, you're like, hey, I saw this, or I, you know, these people are doing this. I'm like,
perfect. I mean, the fairy wand.
Yeah. I'll give hands down. You turn me on to the fairy wand, which Rance has been fishing the fairy wand for years. We've been fishing tournaments for years now, but like me and you fishing the reservoir and doing this and watching you just, you know, some days you're getting more bites than me.
Yeah.
Like either you're getting the same amount or you're getting more.
Yeah.
And it was on the fairy wand. So I swapped over that, and now it's been deadly. Oh, yeah. I got Paul on the ferry one.
Dude, I mean,
he's 76 years old. And he's that never was fished it.
Kind of a crossover thing for me. So, ferry wand is light braid to a fluorocarbon leader. And that connection is a saltwater connection. That is a saltwater specific deal. Like, that is something I do marlin fishing and tuna fishing and red fishing, competitive red fishing, all that is that connection. And a lot of this stuff crosses over to some extent. And that's one of them. Like, I exclusively fished spinning rods when I was professionally red fishing.
Yeah. I love it. It's got, I'll say this hands down, that if I'm, depending on situational, if I'm not getting a bite a certain way, brother, it's swap over to that.
I need a bite. The wacky worm, fairy one, or if the fish are deeper, I'll go to a Nico, which is basically a modified wacky.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, in all reality, it's what it is. And I go to either one of those on the ferry one, light line, just slow way down.
Yeah.
I mean, just slow. That's why Brooks is so good with the dead-gum wacky worm, because he will dead stick it. Like, he will just, and just sit. And I'm like, you need to work it. And then he'd just be like,
zit. Yep. The dead stick this year has been deadly, especially on your high-pressure days.
Yeah. I was using what's they're called, the other wacky worm things. I was using a wacky worm, but with a different hook, and I was catching the heck out of the fish.
Oh, you're talking about, is it a Texas rig Senko? Yeah.
Not even Texas.
A whitelist Texas rig.
Yeah.
Not even a Texas rig. It's a wacky worm. You do it a wacky worm with a Texas rig hook. Bam, you catch
one. Yeah. Offset.
Yeah.
Cinco. No weight.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one time I fished with a buddy of mine who coaches at Buna, Griswold. I was catching on wacky, and he was like, dude, I hate fishing wacky. And he did the offset Senko, and I was like, modified wacky worm, and he started strumming them also. So
I mean, that's the Neko. Dude, I really fall in love with the drop shot.
Yeah, the drop shot. I mean, dude, there's just
so many ways to get them. There's so many ways to get bit. There's so many ways.
And that's the beauty of all of it is you can't catch a bass this way. Try this way.
Yeah, or do keep this. Rolling. Keep trying. Keep
they're going. Biting something, or they're hitting somewhere. They're doing something, and it's figuring
been,
it out is
it's
the
been so much fun.
And that's I love that you've fallen in love with it as much as I do. Oh, so it makes it easy to hey, we got to wake up at 3 a.m. and head to Rayburn.
I have no problem waking up in Hampshire, Texas at 3 a.m. and driving to the lake. No problem whatsoever.
Yeah, it makes it easy.
Yeah,
makes it easy. But I am looking forward to progressing with this Southeast Texas League.
Dude, yeah. I mean, Southeast Texas League is going to be awesome. Looking forward to that. If anybody wants to sponsor it, hit the pages, hit Instagram, hit TikTok, hit Facebook, whatever. Those of you who have my direct DM, do that. Porter, whoever, Bay Dragons or whatever, just DM us if you're interested. If you have a kid that wants to fish or if you want to sponsor. And also, back to the Bayou Dragons Open Invitational. If you want to sponsor, hit us up. If you want to fish, let us know you plan on fishing. We're going to release dates. We're going to do it where it's not hard on the fish. We don't want to kill a bunch of fish, so we're going to not do it in the dead heat of summer. We're going to do it in the fall this year. If we have a really good turnout, we'll probably look at doing it in the spawn.
Yeah, better fishing time.
Better fishing time next year. But hit us up. Let us know either if you want to sponsor, if you want to fish. We want an idea. We want to gauge the interest. We want to know for both, for the junior club and for the open.
Yep.
So let us know. And man, been fun.
Yeah, like always, man. Yeah.
Been a good podcast.
I think we could keep going, but
we'll
keep it at that. Short, simple. Look. We got some big things in the work with bass fishing, and anyone that wants to be involved or wants to be a part of it, let us know, and you know, we'll respond. We'll get back with you. We love any feed. So
absolutely.
Thank y'all for tuning in to the Bayou Dragons podcast. Thank you, Brooks Borjola, for being the youngest and one of the most verbal new guests apart.
I think he's talked more than Tanner.
Oh, he's definitely he's talked more than Tanner and Joe together on one podcast.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for listening, and this will be releasing soon.